I awoke the next morning to the bright sunlight streaming in through large windows that encircled the room. I felt better than I had in years, as if I had been given new life. I sat up and stretched when I heard footsteps growing louder on the hardwood floor. I heard them draw nearer and nearer until Arthur appeared from behind the couch. "Oh good, you're up," he said. "How'd you sleep?" "Amazing," I answered. Arthur nodded, cracking a smile. "What?" I asked. "I sure hope you got a good sleep," he replied, "because you were out for nearly 16 hours. I rubbed the sleep from my eyes, then looked back to him after a moment when I actually processed the reality of what he just said. I glanced down at my watch. It read 4 o'clock. "Fucking really?" I swore. "It's 4 o'clock? How in the hell did I sleep that long?" I stared up at my friend in confusion, but he simply smiled back. "You know you guys could have woken me up at any time, right?" I said. "I mean, shouldn't we have been on our way by now?" "Probably," Arthur answered in his usual laid-back tone. "But one handy piece of advice to keep in mind while you're here that I'll let you know right off the bat is you probably shouldn't worry too much about time here or give it too much regard. It doesn't really hold much meaning here. Still, you're probably right. We probably should be heading out as soon as possible. You'll need to be approved to stay on the island by Dr. Strangelow, the ruler. It's nothing out of the ordinary or anything to worry about, just a routine meeting. I've already talked to Edward, and he's agreed to take us there, which is probably the most beneficial thing for us, considering he knows this land the best. So you'll have absolutely nothing to worry about." I nodded in agreement. "Good," he went on. "Then get your things together and we'll be on our way as soon as possible." He walked out of the room and I looked around, taking in my surroundings for the first time in the daylight, which had taken on a new meaning altogether in this world. The radiance from the sun was no longer the basic yellow and white light which we were so accustomed to seeing in our daily lives, but had taken on kaleidoscopic tendencies, erupting into a sea of different shades and hues of various colors. Beginning at the yellow flame in the center, which was the sun, the color of its rays shifted and contrasted with each other accordingly in response to intensity as they radiated outwards into the sky and down to earth. Beams of yellow light, followed by orange, then purple, pink, green, red, and finally blue, before transitioning back to the typical blue sky in the distance, which even in and of itself had taken on a unique, more animated shade of blue that I had never really seen before. I couldn't help but laugh to myself. How many people thought they had ever truly seen the sun? This was the only real way to ever experience it before death. I took a look around the room for the first time in the daylight, and noticed just how luxurious the house I had been staying in actually was. The majority of one outer wall was taken up with large windows, stretching almost across the entire surface, allowing the multicolored light to pour into the house. In the center of the same wall, there was a gap in the windows and a screen door had been installed, which opened onto a large, screened-in patio. From there, a door that led off to the side accessed a wood staircase, leading down to an enormous backyard, which in turn ran back towards a small lake. A private dock had been built at the edge of the coastline, and two chairs had been placed at the base of that dock, looking out onto the horizon where the other, more luxurious homes surrounding the outer portion of the city could be seen in the distance. The design of the home allowed for a continuous breeze, generated on the water, to continuously blow through the screen door, providing fresh air into the house. There were old trees and a colorful assortment of flowers and gardens everywhere I looked, almost like mazes. The color of every single object still appeared to be more animated and vivid. The flowers outside looked as though they had been freshly painted with a vast array of colors that I had never seen before, all running and melting together. It was truly an indescribable sight. I showered, dressed, and then helped myself to something to eat before rendezvousing with Arthur and Edward, who were sitting outside, talking and waiting for me. They stood up when they saw me. "Ready?" Arthur asked. I nodded. "We're going to take a walk through the town first," he told me. We both agree it would be beneficial for you to know the main pirates, and besides, it only takes maybe half an hour to get from one side to the other, even on foot. I nodded again, listening carefully as we had already proceeded to make our way around to the front of Arthur's house, and then back down the curving street. The first thing I noticed was how much busier the streets were in the daytime. A significantly higher percentage of armored guards now walked the streets with the rest of the townspeople compared to the previous night when we had initially arrived. I'm going to give you some advice, Edward said, guiding us through the streets. Arthur's promised me that you're a responsible person, capable of being entrusted, and frankly, that's all the reassurance I need. That being said, I still feel as if I have a personal responsibility to caution you right away that the things you see and experience here for yourself may have the potential to change you, in some cases fairly drastically. I was attempting to take in my surroundings as much as I could while still paying attention to my new companion, though I felt like I had heard the same lecture from Arthur countless times now already, and I wasn't trying to be rude to my host, but I simply couldn't force myself to pay very close attention to Edward as he went on. I had predominantly only seen residential housing up to this point, but as I had been forewarned, we ventured deeper to the heart of the city, and the houses did gradually seem to degrade, at least to some degree, in quality, and I noticed more and more services and shops in their place. The same sort of shops and services that any normal town would have. Exempting the houses, the first building I saw as we neared the center of the town was an extremely large brick building. A wooden sign hanging on the front read, Osmany Inn. Past this hotel, I began to notice an entire slew of services. Schools, banks, grocery stores, blacksmiths, and even a post office. This place really was a functioning, diverse, built-up culture.